What the EFL is the Football League podcast that hopes Amazon do returns on bush costumes brought in the SO postcode. Coming up, Sinning Saint slung out, Borough back in Spygate shocker, a Lancashire hot pot at Wembley. Imagine how pricey that would be. And we hear from Notts County's top stopper, powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. And this is the playoff preview pod. Try saying that three times fast. And normally it would just be talking about football matches and who's likely to win them. But boy, have we got some other stuff to get stuck into today. It's me, Matt, and I have got my two favourites alongside me. Sam Parkins with us as ever. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm very good. Not as good as Clarkey, I would suggest. But how long ago did the semi-finals feel now? Honestly, I think it's just because there's been so much to read and to laugh about, really, in the last few 48 hours, 72 hours, in terms of memes and commotion on various social media platforms. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the finals and a well-earned break for all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's get these finals out of the way. Hope that they're vintage and then forget about football for a little while. Adrian Clarke still basking in Arsenal's title glory. It's been quite the week of football news, and the EFL's kind of stolen the spotlight, actually, hasn't it?
No, not so. I mean, Arsenal champions. I'm going to be unbearable for the next 12 months. I'm sorry. Great. I mean, it's a heavy news week. I'm looking forward to talking about it because, I've got some strong opinions.
All right, we'll get those shortly. But first, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+ and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Well, you won't be surprised to learn where we're starting today, listener. It's the story of the season in the EFL, probably in English football, possibly across the globe. Southampton have been expelled from the playoffs and will start next season on -4 points after the EFL charged them with watching training sessions of Oxford and Ipswich Town, in addition to filming Middlesbrough as they prepared for the first leg of their playoff semi-final on the 7th of May. On Tuesday, the punishment was announced. On Wednesday, Southampton's appeal against it was rejected, and on Saturday it will now be Hull City versus Middlesbrough in the playoff final. Absolutely incredible. As we record on Thursday lunchtime, the FA have opened their own investigation into the incident as well. Go on then, Clarke, you kick off. You've got strong opinions. Let's hear them.
Oh, no, I think it's the right punishment. I said at the outset, my gut feeling was that they should be kicked out, and I stand by that. I mean, the fact that they actually admitted to the three cases of spying is kind of in itself pretty poor. But really, do we really believe that that's it?
So the other two was an Ipswich game, and that doesn't really matter because Ipswich went up anyway, and an Oxford game, which they lost. So that's why they coughed to those two, right?
Right, those three, they didn't win any of the games. It feels a bit convenient to me. I don't know whether I'm just being cynical or not. Big gaps in between. I'm not buying it. I think they've been doing it wherever they can. And for that reason, they have to be kicked out. And I know that there are loads of people saying, oh, what do they learn? Oh, do you really get that much of an advantage? Well, it doesn't really matter. We don't know what advantage they got. No idea whatsoever. But if they got any advantage by it, or even if they didn't, it's worthy of punishment because they know the rules. And look, poor old Swindon Town get kicked out of the EFL Trophy for a clerical error, for, you know, just making a bit of a mistake filling out a form. This is a million times worse, in my opinion. So the punishment should be the same. And look, I actually think 4 points next season is a bit light, given that they appealed, given some of the stuff that Southampton have come out with in their statements as well, which I think have been poor. Yeah, and the bottom line is Tonda Eckert can't manage that club again. He has to go straight away, and I don't think we'll see him in English football again, unfortunately, because he's obviously a promising coach, but you can't be behind that kind of behaviour and get away with it. And Saints fans that are listening, you know, if you're going to be angry with anyone, it should be with the manager and with the club and whoever knew about it. There's no reason to be angry with anyone else. I think this is a fair punishment. Does fit the crime, even though there are a lot of people that disagree with me on that. I feel strongly that it's the right outcome.
Well, Sam, a lot of people of a Southampton persuasion would say, well, Leeds got fined 200 grand. That feels a bit different. But it wasn't a law at that time when Leeds did it, was it? They brought it in off the back of that. Are you with Clarkie and with me, actually, in thinking that this is the right outcome, as harsh as it feels?
Yeah, I think we could talk about it for hours, but I think ultimately Clarkie summed it up well. If this was an isolated incident, then it would be a completely different conversation. But, you know, if everything that is being rumoured or the little whispers that we're hearing are led to be believed or are in fact true, this could have been going on for, you know, months on end. So in that regard, I don't think they've got a leg to stand on. I mean, I'm reversing a little bit here, probably from the previous podcast, because what I thought would happen is very different to the outcome. I thought it would be a financial fine and I thought there'd be a few points taken off. I was pretty astonished when I walked into Stamford Bridge to meet you, Matt, on Tuesday into the press room that they'd been slung out. I just didn't think it would happen. But of course, Clarkie just mentioned Swindon. It sounds like they're taking a really strong line this season at the EFL, maybe in comparison a little bit in contrast to the Premier League, and good on them, because if this has been going on throughout the Championship season, it's not on. It's breaking a rule now that it was put in as well after Leeds were caught. So yeah, I think it's the right outcome, and it's gonna run and run. I mean, it's easy to forget that there's a game at the weekend now. I'm having to re-look at the fixture to see who's actually playing. That's how foggy my mind has become. I think it's probably actually worse for the Middlesbrough players coming into it. Reinstated, yes, but tears in the dressing room. St Mary's a few weeks ago, the devastation that the season's over, the mental switch that you're now on your holidays.
Well, they said they were back in training, but would they have been training at full tilt? Surely not.
Doesn't matter. They will have been. I just think for Hull, they knew they had a game on Saturday, right? Mm. It's tougher for the whole analysts and their coaching staff because they've had to prepare for two matches, right? Mm. Middlesbrough have had to prepare for one. So Kim Hellberg and his analyst team can get to work on the potential of playing Hull City. For the players, I think it's a difficult switch. You know, you've gone through that at St Mary's, you've been beaten, you know, all that emotion comes out, you probably get a few beers down your neck on the way home, and then you're in holiday mode. And then all of a sudden there's that, yeah, Clarkie's been there. We're so institutionalised when you're playing football, creatures of habit. Any kind of disruption, it just throws a dressing room. Oh, I've heard this, I've heard that. Oh, no, we're not going to get back in. No, someone's told me this, this lawyer's told me this. That's what will have gone on, like between the lads. It's so unsettling. And for the whole City players, yeah, there's been like, oh, it might be Middlesbrough, it might be them. They're still training for a game on a Saturday and the routine would have been the same early part of the week. Today, into tactical mode. Tomorrow, little bit of shape. You know, nothing's really altered for them. It's going to be really interesting how Middlesbrough start this game at the weekend.
Mm. Reports that Hull might look at legal action if they don't win the game. All very, very messy. We'll
talk like that.
No, well, I mean, we'll see with that, I guess. We'll talk about the game more generally shortly. Just a last word on this, though. What about the effect on the Southampton players, Clarkie? Because the Athletic were reporting that they're thinking about suing the club. Obviously, there's a lot of money at stake here in terms of potential promotion bonuses, a wage increase. If you'd gone up to the Premier League, they could even claim reputational damage, I suppose. I mean, you've gone from, no offence, Southampton supporters, one of what I would say the blandest clubs in the country. Do you know what I mean? Nobody hates Southampton, do they? You love them if you support them, but they don't engender strong feelings one way or another. They've got themselves in an almighty mess with their reputation with their employees. It's going to take them an awful long time to unravel and make good on all of this, I think.
Yeah, I feel sorry for them. I feel gutted for them. But no, you can't sue your own club for that. I mean, they didn't get promoted for a start. That's the key word here. You know, they weren't in the Premier League. They still had the game to win. You know, they've just been stopped. They've been kicked out. The same as Swindon. You know, Swindon suing, you know, for, you know, loss of a winner's medal. You know, Luton went on to win it. Yeah. I don't like football getting legal like this. I understand it. I don't like the fact that Hull have gone down that route either. Just get on with the game. And Southampton just got to get on with their own careers, haven't they? Eckert's going to go. All right. The players will be furious with him. He has to leave. And anyone involved in it has to leave. And they just have to start again and use it as fuel next season to make sure that they go up fair and square and to restore or re-establish the club's reputation. That's the responsibility they've got now. Will a few people leave? Probably. But it's just the way it goes. I'm afraid if you cheat and you get caught, you get punished. Simple as.
I mean, if this is as widespread as has led to be reported across the last couple of days in various quarters, what's to say that some of the players didn't know about it? You know, if this is happening, and you know, and there's that rumor doing the rounds that it's been on the WhatsApp, you know, I don't know if it was Christmas time, I can't recall, but you know, they've been having a bit of fun with a mock-up of the said analyst who's going and doing the spying. You know, if this has been going on, you know, there's a chance that one or two of the players may have known as well. It's the punters you feel sorry for, isn't it? I mean, the travel and the hotels and all that. I mean, imagine being a young kid just getting into football, loving it, going every week to watch Southampton. We're going to Wembley, son, daughter, all of a sudden. Yeah, that's not happening because we've been chucked out. I mean, that's tough. So I don't know how you rebuild a reputation as a club, but they're going to have to do some good PR, aren't they, at the start of next season to get everyone back fully on board.
All right, last word. I did tell you both that Tondereka had a real air of menace about him, and you both laughed at me. Well, who's laughing now? Is all I'd say.
Yeah, that is factually correct. Well played, you.
Thanks. He's going to have a couple of year ban, you would think, at least from English football. But that's speculation. We shall see what happens with that. Let's focus on the football next, shall we? So it is going to be Hull City against Middlesbrough in the Championship playoff final. Took Hull 104 years to play at Wembley, but since their first visit in 2008, they've been there plenty of times. This is their first visit in a decade. They've been there three more times since that 104-year wait. They've won three of their four visits there as well. I think, as Sam says, Clarkey, it shouldn't disrupt them too much, should it? Certainly from a player's perspective. It gives them quite a significant advantage, doesn't it? The fact that they're going to be playing at a team who might come into it half cooked.
I would say so. I agree with Sam on that. But the bookies don't. I mean, have you seen the odds for this game? Middlesbrough are odds on to win this game in the 90 minutes. Hull are over 3-1, which I find quite astonishing, actually. I think this is a genuine 50-50 game. I think that Middlesbrough might be the most sophisticated team of the two, but Hull, as Sam said, have known that they've had a game all along. You know, they've tailored their conditioning towards that, and it won't take a great deal of difference tactically to get used to the fact that it's now Middlesbrough, not Southampton. I don't think it's a particularly big deal. The fact that they beat Middlesbrough in late December on the last meeting is interesting. They were one of those teams that bunkered in and had, I think, 29% possession and nicked a 1-0, even though Borough had loads of shots. So I think we know what their game plan is going to be. And it probably would have been the same against Southampton. The question for me is, does he stick with the back three used at Millwall, Yakirovic, which works brilliantly, or not? I mean, the thing is about Borough, they don't have a striker like Josh Coburn that occupies defenders as well. I mean, Strelec for me isn't as good. But will they go with a back three or not? That's going to be interesting. But what I will say is about Yakirovic is that I think he's proven himself to be an outstanding tactician this season, even though they've, you know, given up goals in a lot of games. When the big games have come around, they've almost always been solid, particularly big away games. They won six of away games from nine, six out of nine against the top 10 during the regular season. They won at Millwall, one at Southampton, one at Middlesbrough, one at Wrexham, one at Norwich, one at Birmingham. You don't do that unless you're really well organised. So I expect a top performance from Hull and a team that's going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah, and as I say, they've got that good record at Wembley. Just to get on the right side of our sponsors, the odds as it stands from Quinbet, 16-5 for Hull to win in 90 minutes, 12-5 the draw, 3-4 are Middlesbrough.
Sure, aren't they?
Well, I mean, are they going to have enough supporters there to back them? They've just published the ticket details, but there's engineering works on the line between Darlington and York all weekend. That is an awful long rail replacement bus for them to sit on. Also, Sam, Borough-wise, they've never won at Wembley in all five visits that they've made there. My mind immediately went to Denmark 1992. I mean, it's slightly different, isn't it? But we saw how a last-minute reprieve aided them in the Euros. I mean, it's about taking the opportunity that's been presented to them, right? And I guess the other thing that might work in their favour, it's not as if Hull's semi was, I don't know, 5 days ago. It was on the 11th of May. So I know they've been training, but it's quite a long time between matches. Can you make a strong case for Middlesbrough, or are you thinking that Hull are heavy favourites too?
I'm not saying heavy favourites, by the way. I'm just saying that I think it's an even game.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to be underdogs. Yeah.
Yeah. I think in the balance, you know, I probably wouldn't have Hull in normal time, but I think if it goes to extra time and then there's a potential there and penalties as well, it's whether Middlesbrough bring their shooting boots to a degree. There's going to be no Conway, so that's going to obviously mean an adjustment there. I would imagine it would mean Riley McGree maybe higher. And then either
risk Caden Hackney, maybe now he's had a little bit more time. It's a big
year. That was my next name. If he's fit, you play him. I know there's worries about what's happening in the summer. The agent probably won't be best pleased if he's going to be playing not fully fit. But I think you start him if he's available. There was always the plan, wasn't it, to get him ready for some part of the playoff final. So that would make the selection a hell of a lot easier. The other one would be Alan Brown, maybe into the midfield, and then you push McGree a little bit higher. But I'm totally with Clark here. If you're Hull, play the back three. Spoil. You're not going to have Joseph, which makes your selection issues a little bit easier in the forward areas. You could play Bellumi, Gellhart, Miller, another. They don't really have an actual 10 for me, Hull. And I think that's been my sentiment throughout the season. Crooks has played there. Some of those other forward lads that I just mentioned. But I think you still have that potency and that threat if you play the two off or either side of McBurney. Give yourself a strong platform. Don't give away too many opportunities. Frustrate Middlesbrough and they'll maybe get the sense that it's happening again in terms of them not being able to convert their territorial supremacy. So, yeah, I think it could go all the way this to the end. And yeah, that's what I'd be envisaging Hull doing. And Middlesbrough, yeah, one or two more places up for grabs due to injury. But I think it's just that mentality, that focus. Is that going to be really evident from the off, given that essentially they've already been knocked out of the playoffs once?
Yeah, if I was Borough and Kim Hjelberg and I anticipated them going with the back three, I might go with more of a 4-4-2. We saw that with Borough at times this season. I remember the game at Coventry where they played well but got beat, didn't they, by an excellent Cov team on the night. That night, they kind of played Whittaker and Conway as split strikers in a 4-4-2 with McGree and Brown as the sort of inverted wingers. And I could see something like that. That might be their way of being solid, you know, nice and compact down the middle. It also covers off those dangerous flyers down the wings from Miller and Bellumi. You know, they can maybe. I'm just thinking without Conway, Strelick on his own, I don't know. Like, I don't know whether that's going to work. I think having someone, whether it's Whittaker or McGree, I don't know. Having someone a bit closer to him might help, especially if they're up against three centre backs. I always think if you play in a back three, it's a big ask. I'm sure you've done it. It's a big ask for a lone striker up against three centre halves. I always think you've got to get two nice and high. So I would do that and maybe go to a back four if I was Kim Hjelberg. But he could just match up and do the back three himself, couldn't he? So yeah, tactically, I think it's a really interesting game. Two really good managers, I think. Two really excellent coaches go sort of pitting their wits against each other. Don't think it'll be a classic, but it'll be interesting.
4-1 at Hull in the their home game. And I had a look this morning. It was a back four of Britton, Jones, Target, Bangura for Middlesbrough. So they were really affected by injury at the time. And I think they were four up through 44 minutes. So I don't know if it counts for anything here. And it's probably, as Clarkie said, it probably calls for Hull to be as they were away from home. Which, you know, when I saw them on a couple of occasions, Wrexham and Portsmouth, they're actually very good at Wrexham, but at Portsmouth, it was a spoil, nick something, frustrate, rode their luck a little bit. But if you look across the season, they did that too many times for it to be a fluke. So I think they have to go there to Wembley with a little bit of the mindset that they're going on the road and set up to really frustrate the opponent.
All right, 3:30 on Saturday for that one. Then we'll see if Borough can break their Wembley duck or if Hull will maintain their decent record at the National Stadium. Next today, we'll head to League One. The boring old League One playoff final. Two teams who simply won some games of football by being better than their opponents to book a date at Wembley. Yawn at Bolton Wanderers. Yawn at Stockport County, you absolute pair of squares. Sunday lunchtime for this one. 1:30 still lunchtime, Sam? I think 2 o'clock's probably your cutoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any complaints about that. I was going to go 2:30, but that's getting into mid-afternoon territory, isn't it? I think 2 o'clock is your cutoff.
Okay, great. Good to get that sorted. Trotters and Hatters then. Stockport finished third, albeit a distant 14 points behind Cardiff. Bolton were fifth, 2 points behind County. The last time Bolton beat Stockport in a league fixture was 1998. Who you got for this one then, Adrian?
Wow, Stockport then.
Well, all right, they've won one of their seven trips to Wembley. So that
I was going to ask us for the goal scorers there. I was that I could get past Kevin Francis.
Yeah.
But that was earlier, wasn't it?
very close game. I mean, derby game, you know, two good managers again. You know, Bolton proved that they can defend well, didn't they, across the two legs against Bradford. Didn't really give much away at all across those two games, and they were in control of it, kept them at arm's length for most of it. So they'll go in feeling confident, but Stockport did the same to Stevenage, didn't they? Didn't really lay much of a glove on them. I don't see a load of goals here. I did see Bolton, didn't I, at Bradford. It wasn't an amazing performance, but they did enough. I do like the wingers. I think that they'll enjoy Wembley. Kosi Adubra in particular, and Sissoko. I quite like Ruben Rodriguez in at the 10 as well. They've got a decision to make up front. Will it be Dalby? Will it be Burstow? The right back was excellent, Jordi Osse Tutu in the semi-final. So looking forward to seeing how he fares in this game. There's a bit of a concern, isn't there, over Owen Toll, the Bolton captain, who I think is a really good player. He came off at Valley Parade, and if he's out, puts a lot on for Firino. It really does. I think he'd probably slide Johnson across the centre-back and then bring in a different left-back. But yeah, I think the pace maybe of Stockport's forwards. So I'm presuming that Wootton will play centre-back for Stockport, given how brilliant he's done that role, which means that I think it'll be Sidibe or Olafe who'll probably play up front for Stockport. And with Bolton sort of keeping quite a high line, I can see them getting a little bit of joy in behind Stockport. So, yeah, I would probably side with the Hatters here. I just feel that they might have the edge. You've got Louis Barry, you've got Ollie Norwood, you know, match winner in Barry. Norwood's sort of the guy who you'd imagine he will enjoy playing at Wembley, spraying if passes around. So I would probably edge towards Stockport, but it's a really tight game.
Yeah, that's one of the matchups that I've scribbled down. Jordi Osse Tutu up against Louis Barry, potentially. Obviously scored kind of his signature goal in the second leg, against Stevenage. I haven't checked to see if that Wootton was awarded that second one, because that should have been their own goal, should it not? As good as the acrobatics were, it was going wide and then it clipped off Piergiani's head and into the top corner. Yeah, again, I'm with Adrian here. I mean, this could be another very in keeping with the Championship final. I don't think there's very little between the two sides in terms of the league campaign. Obviously one draw, I think 2-0, wasn't it, on opening day to Stockport, but very little between them. Good individuals on both sides. Norwood, Kosi Adubra, of course. Wootton, I've just mentioned. Bolton, all of a sudden, keeping clean sheets, which a little bit of a spanner in the works. They had one clean sheet through their last 16 games. So they just lost their way a little bit defensively. 10 in their first 30 games. So defensively, not been particularly good coming into the playoffs, but then gave very little away. Just scored at the perfect time, didn't they, after Max Power had hit the bar. They'd had that goal disallowed as well. Bradford, Caden Jackson. So it was a perfect time to score and just put a pin in the tie. Yeah, it should be incredibly competitive. Loads of good players on both teams, loads of exciting players on both sides, but I just don't see there being too many goals between them. So maybe a set piece where Wootton, of course, is still a big threat for Stockport, and they've been pretty potent from those situations.
Nine-headed goal, Sam, from Wootton this season. Nine headers.
Really?
Not bad going, is it?
And the other factor, they've been to Wembley and lost recently as well, Stockport. I mean, and the record's not good, if memory serves, from the reading I've done in the last couple of days at Wembley. So that's still fresh in the mind. I don't know if that's a positive or negative going back there. Obviously, you're more accustomed to your surroundings, but, we're beaten and beaten fairly comfortably, if memory serves, by Luton, who racked up quite a few opportunities on that day. So maybe more of a test of their mettle going into this one.
Yeah, very quickly, Bolton, last time they were at Wembley, I was there, and they didn't show up at all against Oxford. Do you remember that one? You know,
Their League One finals have Bolton.
Yeah, so, you know, both have got a point to prove, I guess, under the arch.
Yep, Dave Challoner, going for his 8th promotion as a manager. Absolutely incredible record. Sam, do you want me to reel off some of the names that featured in that famous Bolton win at Edgeley Park in 1998? I think it'll make you happy.
It was a Bolton win, was it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed
that. Brett Angel did play. Taylor got the only goal of the game. Carlo Nash and Jussi Jaskalainen in nets, respectively. You had Mark Fish, remember him? The South African. Scott Sellers. Robbie Elliott and Dean Holdsworth both came off the bench. Paul Cook and Derek McInnes both in midfield. The Stockport, plenty to like there.
Do you want the quick Mark Fish anecdote?
Always.
Once a season. Second game of the season, my second game for Ipswich. Had a defensive crisis. It was at Loftus Road. Mark Fish was in the dressing room before the game. We'd signed him on a free or whatever. Played. Paul Furlong scored. Kevin Gallen scored. We're 2-0 down at half time. Joe Royal took him off and never saw him again.
He was a fish out of water.
What do you mean, never saw him again? He just didn't.
He didn't get to train him. We just needed a defender. So obviously they'd signed him to be able to play in that game. Mm. I presume with a view to him signing for the season. Got torn to shreds by Furs and Kev Gallen, my two muckers, two heroes, whichever way you want to paint it. And got showered at halftime and never saw him again.
Something fishy going on.
But I was like, a football nut. And yeah. Like, I was buzzing to see him, like, in the dressing room. I was like, Mark Fish is tremendous, brilliant. Get him in. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
But only very, very briefly.
And I knew him for an hour.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. All right, we're going to finish off with a League Two final preview next. So rounding off the triumvirate of showpiece showdowns at Notts County and Salford City, they meet in the League Two final on Monday. Earlier this week, Clarkie and I caught up with the Notts County goalkeeper and supporter, James Belshaw. Let's take a listen. Well, very pleased to say that we are joined now by Notts County goalkeeper James Belshaw, ahead of the League Two playoff final against Salford on Monday. James, we were just chatting before we hit record. You said you've been off today. Does it drag when you're not at work and you've got such a long build-up to the game, or are you managing to fill your time?
No, filling my time, doing jobs. It's my daughter's birthday on the day of Wembley. It's my daughter's 3rd birthday, so I've been out and about getting bits for her. She wants a pink cake and pink balloons taken down to Wembley, so I need to figure out doing that. But no, it's just the week. It's a long week, but lots of fun things to do and get ready for Wembley on Monday.
You mentioned your daughter, and obviously Notts County is a real family affair for you. Tell us about your love for the club and how it's been passed down through generations to you.
Yeah, so my main sort of introduction to Notts County was my dad. He's been a season ticket holder for over 60 years, and his dad before that, and just a long sort of lineage of Notts County fans. So from a young age, I was taken down to Meadow Lane to watch Notts County, and then was lucky enough to represent the academy for a number of years as a kid. And then, took a long-winded route to eventually get there as a professional. But it's a club that's very close to myself and my family's heart, and one that I'm extremely proud to represent.
Yeah, you must be buzzing to be back in Notts County. You know, this stage of your career, was it 21 years that you were away? I mean, how good does it feel to wear the badge in first team colours and obviously be part of a successful team as well?
Yeah, but it's still surreal when you introduce me as Notts County goalkeeper James Belshaw. I think that still doesn't hit home. And look, to even play one game for this club is a proud moment, and it feels like a lifetime ambition and a dream achieved to play for this football club. And now to be on the verge of a Wembley appearance for Notts County is incredible. It really is. And I don't take a minute for granted representing this football club. And I do realise how fortunate and how lucky I am to have the honour of being there. So, it's just incredible. It's an incredible feeling. It's one that will never get old. And let's hope we can cap it off with a momentous occasion on Monday.
Yeah, back in 2020 though, post-COVID, you did play against Notts County, didn't you, in a National League playoff final for Harrogate Town. You won that game with Harrogate. How did that feel? Was that a bit of a weird feeling?
Yeah, a few people have asked me about that this week and brought that up. And it's a difficult one because, look, you're employed by a football club to do a job, and that's ultimately what you have to do. But it was surreal playing against Notts. I think the only thing that helped it was the fact that it was COVID and there was no fans in the stadium, and also Notts weren't playing in black and white, So for me, psychologically, it was, I don't know, you could just kind of park it because you're not hearing the songs from the terraces that I'd sing as a fan. Like you could, it was a bit of a strange, obviously, time of the world and a strange game to be a part of. And look, I've played at Wembley twice and been lucky to win both times, but both times were behind closed doors. So yeah, to go there as a Notts player, I was there 3 years ago when they beat Chesterfield in the playoff final. So yeah, it was a surreal experience playing against Notts, but I think now walking out at Wembley as a Notts County player is going to be, yeah, very, very special.
You mentioned you were in the stands for that playoff final against Chesterfield. It goes back even further, right? Weren't you at an Anglo-Italian Cup final back in the day, not to age you?
Yeah, 1995 Anglo-Italian Cup final against Ascoli was my first experience of Wembley. And then I also went to the playoff final against Bradford where Notts lost either a year or two later. So I've been to Wembley a few times. Like I said, I was there 3 years ago. On the other side of things in the pub beforehand, so I didn't really see much of the game, so I'd probably have to be a bit more self-aware this time. I have so many memories of Notts County. It's been my dad's sort of, I would say, second love after my mum, but I think sometimes it probably tops that. Notts County are a huge part of my upbringing, my life. Everything kind of revolves around Notts. When I've played for Bristol Rovers or Harrogate, first thing my dad does is look at the Notts fixtures and it's like, right, okay, I can't come to you then because Notts are at home. And so it kind of revolves around that. Whereas now it's easy for him. Now he gets to obviously watch me play. I think it's probably a little bit more stressful for him now that his son's in goal. And I have seen him abuse a lot of Notts players over the years. So I'm hoping that he's not abusing me from the stands, because I do know all the people that he sits with. So, but yeah, just... Yeah, I've said it before, these stories don't really happen in football where you, like a fairy tale, sort of going back to your boyhood club and people don't get to represent the team they support. So, yeah, very sort of very proud last few months.
Is the one downside that you get tapped up for tickets all of the time for this game? It must have been a proper headache for it.
Honestly, my phone's gone mad the last few days. Like, people coming out the woodwork, oh, any tickets? And yeah, I've spent a couple of days sorting that out. So I've got my family tickets, got my family all sorted. And then said to them, there's a load of my mates going down from Nottingham. And I've just said to them, look, sort yourselves out, get in the singing section. And yeah, the outpouring of love and support of people who go to watch Notts County, people who I've not seen, like people I went to school with who have messaged me, people in the city who I knew growing up or sort of loosely knew, have said, oh, we've been following you and followed your career and that. And it's really humbling. And yeah, it's... Look, I feel probably more pressure than I would playing for any other club, because you want to perform for Notts, and I want to give that moment to all the Notts fans, that promotion feeling, and be a part of history here. So yeah, it does mean that little bit more, and yeah, there's a little bit more pressure. It's more stressful playing for Notts than it is watching Notts, and yeah, not watching Notts can be stressful at times. There's been a few relegations, a few lows, a few highs watching Notts, but for the past few years, since the relegation to the National League, the club have gone on a real upward progression with various managers, Luke Williams, Stuart Maynard, and then now the gaffer here. And yeah, it's been a good few years to be a Notts supporter. So yeah, there's stability on the pitch, there's great people at the foot of the football club, and yeah, we're one game away from achieving something special. So yeah, it's exciting times.
Our friend Sam Parkin, who's part of the pod and was on comms for Sky for the second leg of Chesterfield, had a couple of questions for you. Firstly, he says, how did you feel that he gave man of the match to Luka Ness rather than you? And secondly, he wanted to ask about that save from Markande. Where does that rank in terms of the biggest stops you've made in your career?
Yeah, Lee, I saw Nessie got man of the match, and look, Nessie was brilliant. Like the back three in front of me were outstanding. And I think one of the most pleasing things for me is that we won one game and drew one game and got through by playing a different way. Like there's this perceived notion that Notts County play passing football, uncompromising passing football. We pass, build, break the lines, etc. Whereas we were a little bit more pragmatic, had to go a little bit longer at times, recognise the flow of the game, ended up sitting a bit deep towards the end of the game. And that's kind of the ebbs and flows of football when you're holding on to a lead. And we were resolute and managed to hold out. So yeah, Nessie deserved it. The lads in front of me were great. And yeah, obviously the save from Mark, and I didn't have loads to do over the two legs, and I guess it turns out to be an important save. But look, as long as I'm on the pitch for the club, I'm fine. If I can play my part and contribute in any small way, then even better. But yeah, like I said, the lads in front of me restricted me to very little over the two legs.
Yeah, two clean sheets. Yeah, you've got to be happy with that. You're chasing a fourth personal promotion, which is in itself a brilliant achievement. What, having played in promotion teams before, what ingredient would you pick out as something that's really, really important for teams that want to go up?
I think I'd say resilience, because any team that wins promotion is never straightforward. So whether it's I've gone up in the playoffs, I've gone up automatically. So whether it's over a 90-minute game, there's going to be ebbs and flows in the game. You're going to be under pressure. People are going to make mistakes. Wembley and playoff football and what's at stake does strange things to people. People will make different decisions than they would normally. So it's about dealing with that and persevering and sticking to task, really. And one of the things that people will say is you don't play the occasion, you play the game. But I also think at the same time, like these times don't happen a lot in football. Playing at Wembley in itself is an incredible feeling. So I think for me, it's about enjoying the day, playing with a smile on your face and trusting that, like I said, the resilience will get you through. Winning promotion in football is, like I said, I've been lucky to do it three times. It's an incredible feeling because you work hard for 10, even 11 months of the year. Like we started, I mean, I know I was at Harrogate, but we started pre-season back in June last year. And now you go into the end of May. So it's 11 months of sacrifice, of missing family events, of missing time with your wife and your daughter. And yeah, to have this at the end, to make it worthwhile is, it's a reward for all the hard work that everyone at the football club puts in. And yeah, let's hope we can go into it.
Final question then, James. It's not going to be easy on Monday, is it, against Salford? But you might feel you owe them one. Not lost the last five against them, and that one at their place in April was particularly sore. So revenge, another piece of motivation, is if you needed any.
Yeah, look, Carl Robinson's an experienced manager. He's put together a really good side. Everyone's aware of the media story around Salford and what they're about and the financial sort of muscle that they can put in this league and the wages they can pay. So look, it's going to be a really tough challenge. Like we played them at their place earlier in the year. It was, yeah, really close game. And then there was that, they scored two in injury time. We equalised and it was, yeah, a bit of a frantic ending to the game. So yeah, that probably adds a little bit to it. For the media sort of narrative, it adds to it. But for us, it's, look, we respect Salford. I've played against Corrigan's and teams a lot. I've played against Salford a lot. We know what we're about. We know what's coming down the track. So over the next few days, we'll prepare for them. I'm sure the gaffer will set us up tactically and have some ideas for us to go win the game. But yeah, it's the right playoff final in the sense it's the teams that finish fourth and fifth. We both just missed out on the last day automatically. So yeah, let's go there and we'll be prepared and confident that we can go and put on a performance and hopefully get on the right side of the result.
We wish you all the best with it. And of course, all you need to do to have success on Monday is to buy some pink balloons and make a pink cake. So you, as long as you get that, you're all right.
You're talking about football, and when you boil life down, that's what really matters is family. So yeah, if I can get those pink balloons to my daughter and see her smiling, then yeah, that would be a proud dad moment there.
Well, I hope she has a great birthday and I hope you have a fabulous time on Monday too. All the best. Really appreciate your time, James.
No worries, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks to James for joining us. Really enjoyed his insight into his life and how it's been wrapped around Notts County Football Club. So that's the Notts angle then. And I wonder how significant, Sam, it will be that they'll have a lot more supporters there than Salford. Is that something that will be a factor on the players' minds, or is it a non-factor?
No, I don't think so. Maybe for the watching media, it might be a line that we throw out, but the Salford lads will be used to it, won't they? You know, going to some of the bigger stadiums in League Two. Obviously, at home, it's quite close-knit, isn't it? And they maybe play a little bit of a part there. But yeah, I don't think we can read too much into that. They've got a bloody good record, Salford. They've won the last five meetings and not trailed in any of those fixtures. Carl Robinson, he's won his last 10 against Notts County. Five at MK, five at Salford. I think he's only actually lost one game against Notts County in his managerial career, which is just an incredible statistic going into it. I think
it's a long walk from Meadow Lane to the nearest Pret as well, so he's done well there.
He's done very well. We've had that story too many times. I won't do that one again. I think the most interesting thing here is that Salford aren't overly bothered about having the ball and they get it forward quickly. And Notts County are the exact opposite of that. They are a possession team, or they were, come on to that in a minute, possession heavy team, a lot of short passes, don't get it forward particularly quickly. In the semi-final, Notts County, very different game plan. So, and the stats are kind of quite interesting here as well, because Salford have won all seven games when having less than 43% of the ball. So it would suit them. And Notts County have only won two of the 11 when they've had more than 60%. So I think maybe Notts County will set up similarly to how they did against Chesterfield, which was a bit of a frustration across the two games. I hoped, covering that game at Meadow Lane, that it would just open up to a degree. And actually, Chesterfield tried, because they went a lot longer. They played into the centre forward quickly. They got bodies around him, and they were a bit safe in their passing. Chesterfield, Braybrook and Sturck in the first leg, a bit too side to side, a bit backwards. They went a bit more direct, which I hoped in turn would just open up Notts County, but it didn't. They had six shots, Notts, across the two games, which was give or take their fewest of the season. So it was a very, very different setup stylistically, which maybe could be very key ahead of this one. Because if they do try and dominate and Salford can nick it high and they've got the power of Cisse running from midfield, we saw across the two legs, they've got the enterprise, I suppose, of what's his name? Udo up top. Sorry, my memory just gave up there. It could be a difficult day for them. So I think tactically it's going to be really interesting, because there's a bit of a contrast in relation to the two other games we've already discussed.
What do you think, Clarky? Who'd you make favourite for this one?
Maybe Salford, just. I do like Salford. I like the Cisse and Udo. I think that they're a handful. You wouldn't want to mark them. And Udo makes a lot of things happen. He scores goals, but he creates chances as well. And Cisse's shown, hasn't he, in recent weeks, that he's a big threat. They're a big pressing side, aren't they, Salford? So one of the reasons they don't like having the ball is that they're really good without it. So then they go and win it. They hunt it really high. I think they've had the second highest number of high turnovers. The PPDA passes per defensive action is the lowest in the league. They're hard to play against. They'll crowd you. The issue is it's meant to be baking at Wembley on Sunday. So that might impact that style of play, where you spend a lot of time without the ball. Is that a benefit on a baking hot day? I don't know. Well, it doesn't feel like it would be. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think that Notts County's boss, Martin Patterson, covered himself in glory with a semi, being able to change his usual style of play to in order to get over the line. That shows me that he's got more about him than I thought he had. And it should give Notts a bit of confidence going into this game. So yeah, look, they've got good players as well. Like your Pender, I think you really like him. Jatta's a sort of potential match winner. So yeah, look, I think again, really close. It could be first goal wins it. I was looking at the front running stat. Salford are the best front runners in League Two. Notts County are the third best. So, neither are brilliant coming from behind, certainly not Salford. So I think it could be first goal wins it. But I would edge maybe to Salford.
Okay, well, you've led me nicely into our predictions there. What an astonishing round it was last time, where we had five games to go at. I mean, there's an argument to say that we call the Saintsborough one null and void, but I think we'll give it you, Clarky. You got 7 points total, and just one each for Sam and I. So, I mean,
I'll be consulting my lawyers, because I told you what the score was going to be. You two didn't let me have the 120 minutes. I even told you who was going to score first in the game, so you'll be getting a letter.
Okay, well, I'll expect to be slung out of predictions for next season. All started with a fine boy.
So salty, so bitter, Sam.
I think that I asked for it and to be dismissed in the manner, despite you having a nice cushion. Embarrass yourselves.
78 me, Sam 66, Matt 55. Basically, the final day of the season is a bit of an irrelevance. It's a non-event.
It's up the ante. 2 points for a playoff final, isn't it? Money, three, actually. Three.
Hull Southampton then, Sam. 90 minutes only. What's
90 minutes.
I said Hull Southampton. Crikey, I didn't direct that. Did I? Hull Borough.
Catching it off me. 0-0 after 90.
Okay, Adrian?
1-1.
I'll go 0-1 Borough. Bolton, Stockport. I think this is going to be 1-1 after 90. Sam?
Yeah, I'd have had that 1-1 after 90. That's the one I fancy probably to go the distance over any other. 1-0 Bolton.
Adrian?
2-0 Stockport.
Wow, okay. You can go first on Notts against Salford.
Notts v Salford. Yeah, first goal wins it. I said it, didn't I? So thank you for teaming up for this one. Notts 0, Salford 1.
Sam?
I think they're all draws, you know. I think they're all draws. Yeah. I do, yeah, I do. I think they're all draws in 90. But for the purposes of this and making it look a little tighter than it actually is, in reality, 2-1 Salford.
Okay, well, I'm a Notts boy by birth, so I've sort of got to go for Notts. So I'm going to say they'll win 2-1 after the 90. If you'd like to leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, we'd really appreciate it. It helps the old algorithm find people who want to listen to EFL podcasts. A reminder as well that our partners, Quinbet, have an offer for you. Wait and get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Right, we got 2 minutes until Clarkie needs to get to his daughter's sports day. I am changing up Tweet of the Week at the last minute, but I have given you both access to it. I was going to go with Portsmouth trolling Southampton with simply "soon" as a quote tweet on their South Coast Derby video from September 2025. Lovely stuff, done great numbers for them as well, 3.6 million views. But I think this might be the worst one we've had all season. Clarkie might feel differently about it. Sam, the MK Dons official account on Tuesday, congratulations to our Arsenal on winning the Premier League from everyone at MK Dons. Applause emoji, trophy emoji, hashtag COYD, and a picture of Mikel Arteta. I think this is the worst piece of social media I've ever seen. What say you?
I don't really get it. I don't really understand it. It's a yellow. It's probably a red. But I did see a tweet from Alex Gilby. And sorry if I've completely got the wrong end of the stick. I think he's an Arsenal fan, and he's... tweet was suggesting that maybe he had hold of the social media passwords. I don't know if he was messing around. I don't know if this is genuinely what someone at the club has thought the right thing to do in light of Arsenal winning the title, but maybe there's a little bit of shenanigans going on from a big gooner in the MK Don ranks.
Yes, he says, I will spin all passwords tomorrow, gooners, but it's not gone down particularly well, Clarkley. Clarkie, looking at the replies, Taylor Bratt, worst post I've seen my club make. Admin, why are you acting like a complete something for a team and fan base that barely knows we exist? And somebody's put a nice graphic on the theme of "now that's what I call music" that says "now that's what I call tin pot."
Yeah, it's really good fun reading the replies. I'd recommend it. JJ says, two most hated teams in England being friends. Probably true, isn't it? Friends! I'd love to think that Alex Gilby has hijacked the official account there. That would be 11 out of 10 for me. So yeah, I'm all for it. Well, I just think it's a lovely gesture from a good team, really good footballing team, recognising the quality of another good team. So well done, MK Dons. Terrific.
Bart says, good luck against Tottenham in 2 seasons' time. Good stuff. All right, that's where we're going to leave it for today. We'll review what happens in those playoff finals for you next week, of course. Enjoy Wembley if you're going, not you, Southampton. And we'll be back with another show next week. But for now, from Adrian, from Sam, and from me, it's goodbye.